You're listening to Every Voice Matters with Dori Francis, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon. And today I'm going to say good evening because we have an international guest today from Italy. So it's like 8 p.m. her time. Today's show actually is sponsored by Lake Preparatory School in Lake Tahoe, California. Their website address is laketahoeprep.org. They're really an authentic type of school. They've been in business since 1978. And one of the best ways to get to know them is an on-campus visit. You can actually visit the residence hall, sit in on classes, meet some of their students. Their phone number to set up a visit with them is 530-583-8665. And one of the great things about them is their average class size is 7 students. They have 15 AP classes, and their total student body is 70. So it really makes for a nice campus, not too big, not too small, and allows the kids to really participate and grow as students while they're there and find their way. So again, Lake Preparatory School in Lake Tahoe, California. Thank you for sponsoring our show today. We really appreciate that. I also want to thank Rebecca in Utah. She has become an avid listener every week, and she really likes my sayings at the end of the show. So she sent me a gift, a daily teachings book, and I'm actually going to read some of the things from the book that she sent me at the end of the shows each week. I want to thank her for that gift and for her listening. So thanks, Rebecca. I really appreciate it. Today, our guest is Suzanne DeMonk-Mautier. I hope I haven't slaughtered that too much. Hi, how are you? Good evening to you.
Hi.
Suzanne is coming to us from Italy today, and we're going to talk about highly sensitive men, which is something that she specializes in assisting. She's the founder of the Highly Sensitive Person Center in Italy. She provides leadership and coaching, especially for highly sensitive men. She really raises her voice as well for children. And likes to assist teachers in schools who are struggling, maybe in learning how these kids need assistance in their education. She provides master classes and sessions and summits. She was just telling me about some other events she has coming up. They had a event earlier this year for men, and all the women kind of said, hey, what about us? So she is having one in October, and I'm looking forward to getting that information. I may participate in that one myself as a highly sensitive person. So thank you for being here today, Suzanne, from across the way. I really welcome you, and thanks for being here so late your time. But I think there's a lot of great information for you to share today.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the opportunity. It's my pleasure. Also in the evening to speak about highly sensitive men. Every opportunity that I can use my voice to spread awareness about highly sensitive men is so welcome. So especially with you, we know each other for a long time now.
Yes, we've been communicating via social media. So
yeah,
we've had a few, I think, Zoom calls and I'm hoping to make it to Italy when this COVID situation is over and really getting to see you face to face and actually doing some work with you myself.
Yeah.
How did you get started with this? Where did you come from? How is it that you ended up in Italy? What brought you to this aspect of the work that you're doing now?
Yeah, well, that all started when I followed a lecture about new age children. And that is already 22 years, even more, maybe 22, 24 years ago. And when I followed that lecture, it was like a knowing, a strong, strong knowing that I was going to teach about that subject.
Okay.
And when I dived deeper, I came in contact with the term of sensory processing sensitivity, which is high sensitivity. And from there, I thought, oh, this is so important. All the teachers should know this, that there are children who learn in a different way, who think in a different way, eat, play. It's just a little bit different. Just need to know how. But I could not teach about the subject yet at the time because I was still at the teacher's academy myself. So that's where it started.
Where was this? Where was this that this started? Was this in your home country?
Yeah. This was in the Netherlands.
Okay.
And when I started in education, very early on, I felt physically sick myself when seeing those very young children coming into the school at the age of 4, and where they were already complete, full circles. And I, as a teacher at the time, had the feeling that I had to make squares of them, mm-hmm. to squish them in a system that did not always
Yeah.
So, I taught at different schools, at different age groups, different types of education. And I did not know at the time why I did not want I wanted to be a substitute teacher because I wanted to learn a lot. And I could not explain why. But now, now I know why, because of the work that I'm doing now. So from there, I knew as a teacher that I wanted to do more and in a different way. So I also started child coaching and then youth coaching. And then I noticed every time I had a transfer conversation with the parents, that when the parents are involved, and you know this just as well, that you get better long-term results.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yeah. The family situation.
Yes. And that's also what your work is all about. So, I felt that it was not complete yet. So when you guide the child, the teenager, the parents, you still have to transfer to the school. When you're not homeschooling.
The difficult part is the schools are so, like you said, regimented in how what they're being told they need to do in order to teach the children. So it's everybody the same. And I think unless you're in a very private, maybe Waldorf type school or Montessori type school, it's very challenging for some of these children who don't necessarily fit in with everybody else. And then they get labeled, you know, they have a behavior problem or, you know, something else is going on with them when it's truly just their nature of being highly sensitive.
Yes. Many children are labeled as... with ADD or ADHD. Mm-hmm. And what I'm advocating for is that highly sensitive children get just as much attention and focus as the children who are also autistic and all the other, just like, for example, dyslexia.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so when I had to transfer it to the schools, I noticed that there was not much information. It was not that well known. And teachers were struggling themselves, as I knew at the time. I also knew. And teachers are very willing. They want to, but they also have a huge workload.
Yes.
And all the things they have to finish.
And lots of children in the classroom.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And when you're a teacher, you can do so many things. You know, you're multi-potentialite. And from there... what I also noticed is that the clients that I came in contact with were mostly boys.
Oh.
So, yeah. And that started already there. And then
I told to you that you were seeing more of the boys than the girls.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I explained high sensitivity to the school staff, also the school psychologists, and other professionals. And then, of course, life happens. And that was simultaneously when my own children, I have two sons, were not completely understood in school. And of course, we know that those things happen for a reason also. Yeah. And that had a huge impact on them, also on us as the parents. And when I had the feeling that I had failed.
Oh.
For not listening to my intuition at the time. I did for a certain, but not to the extent that I thought I need to get them out of the school. And that can not only be traumatic for the children, but also for us parents.
Yeah.
When it was so clear to me that they needed to go to another school, I thought, how many signs do I need to get before I'm finally going to act on what I know I have to do? So I followed even more training, and I wanted to complete the circle of teaching people to look from several perspectives, not just from the cognitive perspective in school, but also the social and emotional, the physical and the spiritual. And
were you able to do that within the school system?
Well, that's the journey.
You're still working on that.
Yes, I am still working on that. Yes, that's my life's work, advocating for high sensitive men and the children in education. And that's also what my upcoming book is about, how to support your sensitive child's needs in education.
Yes.
And so when we were totally tired of all the things that were happening in school at the time, during summer vacation, we went to Italy just to
take a break,
yeah. Recharge. And then I saw the huge difference in my children. I had the feeling that they became themselves again, and that they could enjoy the small things in life, and not having to worry so much. Even the dark circles under their eyes just it was a huge difference. So when I was in Italy at the time, I thought, I wish more children and their parents could enjoy. Just to have this break.
That same experience.
They know. Sure. Yeah, same experience. Just until they know what to do, what feels best. Listen to your intuition. And so my children went to another school. And I don't know the exact date. Maybe you've also experienced this in your life, that you don't know the exact date, the time, the day, but you just know something. You know. And one day I just knew I had to go to Italy to spread awareness about high sensitivity.
Like, you got the message.
A clear message. Yes.
Message, and this was had a gift, and this was the direction you needed to go.
Yeah, I had the feeling that there was a long line of children behind me, pushing my back just to get out of my own comfort zone and spread awareness here in Italy, but also connect people internationally. And that's what I did. I changed my life completely. And I could not have changed it even more besides all the things that I did. So we left, we did it. We jumped, we surrendered to the feeling, and Yeah, of course, it takes some time to arrange and organize things. But we went. We did not know the area that we were going to in Italy at the time. We didn't know anyone. We didn't know how or what.
You just went. That's you know, I think that's when some of the greatest changes happen for people who are also looking to help others. There's just that intuition, that message that's received. And, you know, it's not everybody who's willing to just up and change their life in that moment to take that journey and that risk. So, you know, such an honor to hear your story and know that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so here I am 6 years later. And advocating for highly sensitive people. And I've learned a lot. I've learned what I needed to learn here. And I've grown tremendously, especially in being comfortable in the very uncomfortable.
I'm sure. I mean, like you said, you just showed up and you had no idea what that meant. You were just knowing that that was where it was supposed to be. And now you've created this wonderful HSP center and it's continuing to grow. And you're continuing to grow. And the services that you're offering are, you know, continuing to grow as well and reaching out to people across the world. So, yeah, I'm so glad that we connected when we did.
Yes. Yeah, me too. It's already 4 years ago, I think.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so we already said a lot of boys at the time for the educational work, but I also noticed that the core of the challenges for highly sensitive men already started in education. So in that way, it's combined. The circle is.
I'm hoping that those men that know that they're highly sensitive or are suspecting that are learning that for themselves and discovering that and really honoring that about themselves and then being able to teach the others that they're with. So, you know, that's how change is going to happen. And I still think in the public school system, it will be a daunting chore to get that. But the more information we can get out, the better it will be over and over and over again. And the summits that you're having, so people are learning more information and hopefully becoming more empowered too with how they're learning about themselves and feeling good about that.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Well, we had some great questions that came in.
Yeah, many. I love that. I have never received so many questions.
there were quite a few.
Thank you.
So Anthony in Utah, you know, asks, I'm a highly sensitive man and I struggle with fragrances and strong smells. Is that normal?
Yeah, that can be. Yes. Not every highly sensitive person struggles with fragrances, but it's definitely possible. For example, I dislike the window car cleaner spray.
Oh yes, okay.
When I've not eaten or I'm not fully rested, that's the last straw.
that becomes like, okay, no more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that I'm sensitive to chemicals, especially like if I'm near an orchard or someplace where they've been spraying, any type of chemical smell for me is just, it's upsetting almost when I have that smell come into my system. Makes me very agitated and I just can't be around it.
Yeah. And so good once you know where it stems from, it can help you tremendously. Yeah, you can also use it to your advantage because that part of your senses is so intense. When you are, for example, really tired at 4 p.m. And you have that scent of orange or mint or lemon in your vicinity, and you just smell that fragrance, it can really be energizing. So
finally works in your favor as well.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Beth in Utah says, I believe that my husband is a highly sensitive man. How can I help him? He seems to struggle in the world. He does not want people to see him that way, as he feels that they will see him as a weak person. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that a lot from men that I know that are highly sensitive. I don't want anybody to know. They won't see me as a man. They'll see me as a weaker person. I'm sure that that gets addressed in your summit as well.
Yes. Yeah. She can also watch the videos of the summit. I gave them to the public.
Okay.
The message to reach far. So he will definitely, when he listens to it, it will be, it can help him.
Okay.
For a man, what I noticed, and I agree, I hear that also very often, for a man, it is different. When you interact in society, the component of competition is very strong, even more so than for women. But for a man, it's really nice to know that at home, there's no competition. You can just be who you are. So in that way, just asking this question is already really beneficial, and I think that knowing that can already help him.
And I'll make sure that your website and your information on your videos is posted on your page when I get that up tomorrow, so people will be able to continue to find information and learn about what you're doing also.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, it is. It is so beautiful to see once highly sensitive men know from other highly sensitive men what their inner world is like, and when they connect, even when it's a non-highly sensitive man, that by opening up and by showing their emotions, sharing their inner world, it can be release some of the pressure of other men, because then they don't have to wear a mask,
right?
An emotional mask in front of them. So if highly sensitive men open up even more and just be who they are, and that's what the society needs, they are also helping other men to do the same.
Do you find that different cultures handle this differently as well? U.S. men maybe versus, those in South America or European men, do they look at this highly sensitive aspect differently based on the culture and how they're raised?
Yes, definitely. Absolutely. For example, what is considered being a highly sensitive man here in Italy is not comparable to what it is like in the Netherlands, in my home country, for example. And for sure in America, the southern European countries, I noticed that the stigma of what a true man mm-hmm. should be is even stronger, and also because of the sports component in that. And absolutely.
Or what about religious upbringing? Do you think that ever plays a part as well in, different religious backgrounds, somebody versus, a Catholic background versus maybe an LDS background versus, you know, maybe a Jewish background. Do you think that religion plays a part in, again, any part of the stigma of how they feel they need to be?
Yeah, it can be, but it can also be for non-highly sensitive men. What I do notice is when there is a certain religion in play, that the way you express yourself is limited. It's felt like limited, and in that way, you can feel like you don't measure up to the rest of
what the expectation is.
Yeah.
Brent in Utah says, I've been told I'm a highly sensitive man. You know, other people's moods affect me. Is that normal?
Yes, very normal. Yes. But thank you for asking. It is when you enter a room and you feel that something is off. or you see that a certain person, or you feel, I should say, you feel that a certain person is not really congruent to what their energetic is. Yes, definitely. But you can also read more about being an empath, for example.
Right.
When you absorb like a sponge, right, all those moods and the emotions, it is necessary to really
protect yourself
and yes, feel if it's still healthy, how you can help yourself with that.
Brittany in Colorado says, is it more difficult for men who are highly sensitive than for women?
It depends in what way. it depends on the background and, of course, all your life experience and
right,
all the things that you've been through. If I would say if it's more difficult for a highly sensitive man or a non-highly sensitive man, yes, for sure. Highly sensitive men can have the feeling that they can have, not always, that they don't belong to the non-highly sensitive men. And also not belong to the group of women and all being in between. So in that way, you can have the feeling that you're seeking something, or you're longing for a home that you belong to. It is, of course, when a woman is more timid and maybe shy, it is more accepted, and it's even seen as more elegant.
Right.
For a man, that's totally different, because you, in a way, you want to participate in things. In another way, you don't. You might feel that the conversations that are going on are don't fit. You want more depth.
Yes.
Conversations.
Yes.
In that way, I would say, of course, there are more examples, but in that way, I would say it can be more difficult for highly sensitive men, but you can also really thrive as a highly sensitive man.
Good. Clark in Utah says, are highly sensitive children often perceived as being difficult?
Oh, yes.
No hesitation.
Yes. Well, especially family members can be really clear about stigmatizing and using the word spoiled or brats or how you say, posers.
Okay.
And yes, because it's all not understood, and not everyone is willing to look at the core of the challenge at that moment.
They just want to see the outside behaviors rather than the inside person.
Yeah, that's the limitation sometimes. And when you know that when your child's needs are met, for example, at home, that you see a totally different child that is even easygoing. But when your child is overwhelmed during visits, and might be clingy or what they say, whiny, I don't like the word, but it is mentioned, that yeah, they have needs that are not met in that moment. So at that moment, sorry.
David in Colorado says, can a highly sensitive man really be in a loving relationship? I've struggled since I was a teen. I'm 35 now. I was divorced at 27. It just always feels so challenging.
Yes. Yeah, it is definitely possible.
Good.
Yeah, I can understand that he has tried different things and has experienced maybe or heard things that were not that pleasant. But it is definitely possible. Yes, yeah, there's not a right combination of a non-highly sensitive person
right.
in a relationship with a highly sensitive person or two highly sensitives. It depends on the character.
It's about knowing yourself and hopefully the other person being open to knowing and accepting you as well.
Yes.
Yes.
It's important. Yes.
Edward in Colorado asks, also, you know, being a highly sensitive boy affected my childhood. Now that I'm 23, is it going to affect me as an adult man as well? Mm-hmm. You know, it sounds like he's still trying to explore how he is in the world yeah. and already knows that it was a struggle for him as a child.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for asking the question because that is indeed what's going on for in the inner world of highly sensitive men. And you choose how you what action you will take. It does not have to affect you. It will that knowing will be there, but it is how you can shift it and how you perceive it. You're not stigmatized because your childhood was tough or challenging. You can do so many things, but it is also about the mindset that mm-hmm. from now, what are you going to do? Are you going to let it affect you? Of course it will at times, but then what are you going to do?
What can you do to make your life yeah. better and be a part of some of those solutions?
Exactly.
Aaron in Texas says, I just started college this year. I think I'm a highly sensitive person. Loud noises in the dorms really affect me. What can I do about that? I know for me too, loud noises, sirens and things going off. I just feel like it's piercing my soul when that happens. It's really hard for me.
Yeah, it's exactly what you say. It's piercing your soul. Yeah, that's how it feels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I hope that she does get some sleep because sleep is so important for her.
Yes, especially when you're in college.
Yeah, I feel for her. That's tough. What I hear a lot is that highly sensitive students use cork on the ground and on the ceiling. Also
it absorbs the sound
yes
okay
and, paintings and bookshelves having a fluffy rug on the floor also helps, and sometimes even a curtain in front of the door that's really thick also in front of the windows that can help. But besides all the practical things, knowing that there's more that you can do within your communication, I know that's tough, but highly sensitive people need to learn to have level 3 conversations. And in that way, she can ask other people in the board or in the hallway that she encounters and say, for example, hey, can I get your advice? I'm struggling with something. And
school is just starting too, so there's probably a lot of activity and excitement, yes. and especially for the freshmen who are coming in brand new, just trying to figure things out. You know, I hope maybe things will settle down a little bit. But those are some great recommendations.
It also helps to distract your brain with a calming noise, like nature, music that is recorded in nature, or listen to the meditations of Anthony William, for example.
Okay.
When your brain is distracted, it will not focus on less focus on the noise that you don't appreciate.
Okay. Yeah. That's some great information for her. Gil in Arizona says, being a highly sensitive man seems complicated. I have all but given up being in a relationship. Any advice? I mean, it seems like we're hearing this question asked several times in several different ways.
Yeah. Well, this is a woman or a man?
Gil is a man. Yes.
Okay. It is good that you have given up, and it sounds counterintuitive, but it is. What I see within my clients who finally give up is that they will attract the opposite.
Because they've been pushing too hard, maybe, to try and make something work instead of just allowing it to be.
Yeah, sometimes. And sometimes because you're trying so hard and put all your heart into something, the universe is blocked in a way.
Right.
It's not a bit woo, but when highly sensitive men take a year off of dating and relationships and work on themselves, just be and explore their hobbies and work on their health, for example.
Get to know yourself first.
Yes. And in that way, they will attract other people, other kind of people, that could be potential partners and long-term partners. But I know that is tough. But it is not that bad to give up. It can turn into
your favorite. Be a relief sometimes to just surrender.
Yeah, and for partners, it can be more attractive when a man works on himself and doesn't send out that feeling of signal of need. When you don't feel that a person needs you, it can even be more attractive.
Gordon in Arizona asks, can two highly sensitive people be in a relationship together? Will that work?
Yes. Yeah, can actually work. No, it can work. I love the question. The positive thing is that your partner will maybe know your needs even before you know them, because you're both highly sensitive, and anticipate on that and take action on it. The pitfall is that when you're both highly sensitive and one partner is not having a very uplifting mood, that the two of you don't stay in that mood for a longer time than is actually necessary. So it goes both ways, but that's with all relationships.
More awareness.
Yeah.
Guy in Colorado says, I'm a highly sensitive man. I'm 19. My friends feel this is weird and not normal, and they tell me I need therapy to get cured. Isn't this just who I am as a person?
Yeah, thank you for
asking. Your friends are not understanding.
Yeah, thank you for asking. Yes. It takes.
I love these questions from all these.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been great. Yeah.
Yeah, I did too. One out of five people is highly sensitive. So it's not weird at all. It's even scientifically proven. And it is who you are. You are born this way. It's not something that you have.
Right.
It's an innate. Yeah, it's who you are. It's an innate character trait. And I am really glad that it cannot be cured. Because it can be so wonderful to work with it and And also keep in mind that it's from all the character traits that you carrying within yourself, it's just a small part.
Right.
You also have maybe introversion or extroversion, high sensitivity, aka sensory processing sensitivity. It's just a small part. I would suggest that if, yeah, he can show them my video. I made a special video for people who have highly sensitive friends or family members, and they can't really understand them. He can show it to them and just observe their reaction.
And start a conversation about it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And if he then feels that it is not understood or reacted to it in a not very uplifting way, just look and feel within yourself if these people are actually very beneficial to your...
To be in your life.
Yeah. Your energy, your vitality.
Yeah. Heather in Missouri says, well, it was kind of along the same lines, you know, will therapy help a highly sensitive person? Therapy isn't going to change that. It is a part of who you are. I don't, you know, are therapists aware? Are there therapists aware of highly sensitive people? And I think even the type of therapy that they might need would be different based on that part of their personality.
Yes. Yeah, where to start? It depends on your own willingness to open up, to work on yourself, to take action, to be consistent, and also know when not to be consistent, and in that way can really help you. I noticed that many people who follow coaching are highly sensitive, and also many psychologists and coaches and therapists are also highly sensitive.
I think that's true too. I've noticed that as well. Yeah.
And in that way, it really helps to open up, especially with someone who's also highly sensitive themselves, so they know what your inner world is like. The kind of therapy, yes, you're actually right, Dory. What I find really important is that there's a certain intimacy in and in between sessions. I find it really important that my clients know, for example, that it will be there for them every step of the way. And from there, you can, of course, you can apply many different forms of coaching or therapy. But first, feel if there's a match. That's more important, to feel that it's safe to open up.
Yes.
And don't go into therapy to be cured of high sensitivity,
right,
because that won't work. And that's really not what you would like, because it's such a strength.
Jared in Utah says, how can I help my child who is highly sensitive? This is all new to me.
Yes. Well, first of all, children mirror a lot. And of course, I need to know more. But for now,
of course,
I would say,
yes,
when you would start with validating their emotions and feelings, that can help so much, and also in their adult life. And it also helps you as a parent to
learn more.
To learn more also about yourself.
Well, you need to get that book done, Suzanne.
Yes, but it is nice when a child feels seen and heard. When you, for example, say, if somebody would say that to me, I would feel very sad too. Or I know he did not want to throw that glass from the table. I know you didn't want to. It just happened. It's okay. So just let them feel
Let them have their emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jody in Colorado says, you know, are children who are highly sensitive regarded as gifted?
Yeah, it depends on what she means. Is it gifted?
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure of that either. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It depends if it's meant in an intellectual way, IQ, mm-hmm. or in a way of maybe having the opportunity to see, yeah, to see,
yeah,
auras, for example, or be clairvoyant. That's not always what highly sensitive children are not per se also clairvoyant or see auras or other beautiful things. Also, non-highly sensitive children can encounter that. I do notice that the children who are intellectually gifted are usually also highly sensitive. And that means that they feel things even more intense, and they strongly to injustice and many things in the world and their environment. So they really think bigger picture and are really original thinkers.
Yeah.
So it's not the same, but highly gifted children, IQ-wise and creativity-wise, there are many gifted areas, they can also be highly sensitive.
Well, we had a lot of questions. We weren't able to get through all of them, but I want to, first of all, make sure people know how to reach you, where to go to your website, what upcoming things do you have going on? And I'll also make sure that all of that gets put on your webpage tomorrow. But let's share that with them right now.
Yeah, people can reach me by going to my website, which is the www.internationalhspcenter.com. Of course, they can email me. They can also register for the newsletter, and that will be updated about the events that are coming up. For example, the Global High Sensitive Women's Summit Experience and the masterclass, How to Support Your Sensitive Child's Needs in Education, and more things. But they can also contact me for face-to-face coaching retreats here in Italy or virtual. And you can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook. There are many more things to share.
Yes, well, there's so much information. I know you're adding more information to your website and your blogs and your videos all the time. So I'll make sure that that's up there. Do you know what the dates are for the women's virtual retreat in October?
The summit, you mean, right?
Yes, the summit.
Yes. October 11th, and with a live event on the 17th, and people can just register for it. It's free because I want as many women and men, so men can also join, to hear about high sensitivity and what their inner world feels like and how they sometimes had the opportunity to use the sensitivity in order to transform or get their life's work into the world.
Great. And then again, people can also contact you for coaching services with you one-on-one.
Yeah.
And can you...
So come to the monthly community meetings.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we just had one about relationships, and that
Sounds like that there were a lot of questions about relationships.
Yeah, well, we planned 2 hours, and I saw that the recording was 3 hours and 12 minutes. Okay. So, yeah, but it's it is really important. The next one will be about depression and burnout. So I have different groups: one for men only,
okay,
for the Mayfreak events, and combined in English for men and women, all gender, all people, and one in Dutch.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being here, Suzanne. I'd love to have you come back again. You know, we had so many questions, but I will make sure that people have all your information on your website page, and you know, hopefully we'll reach out to you for the assistance that they need, and keep me posted on how you're doing with your book. That definitely is going to be exciting, and I know very, very beneficial to people. And have a good evening.
Yes, thank you so much for connecting and the wonderful work that you do. It will be great to also interview you one time about
your Yes, work. I will definitely be reaching out to you in the next couple of days.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Again, I want to thank Lake Tahoe Preparatory School in Lake Tahoe, California, for sponsoring our show with Suzanne today. They have such a beautiful campus, and really, if you can call and make a time to go visit them, their phone number is 530-583-8665. Their website is laketahoeprep.org. The average class size for them is 7 students. They offer 15 AP classes. The school itself is 70 students, so it's just a great size for those who individually are exploring what their academic needs are and what their future is going to look like. You know, a campus visit is a real authentic way to meet the students, the staff. You can tour, see all of their residence halls, sit in on some classes, and really they offer all of the best aspects of a big school, but in the benefit of not being too large and really giving that one-on-one to your students. So again, thank you, Lake Tahoe Preparatory School. And Lake Tahoe is also a beautiful area if you get a chance to just want to get away. It's a great time to go and visit. Next week, our guest is Adam McRobbie, and it's going to be another international guest. Our international listeners are really expanding, and he is from Canada. He is a homeschool teacher, a husband, a music lover, and a parent, and he's actually going to talk about why does every voice matter? So that really touched my heart when he reached out. It will be a very interesting and enlightening conversation with the information that he has to share next week. I think you will find the time with him entertaining. I also want to take a saying from this daily teachings book that was sent to me as a gift. And so for today, it is: to change your life fast, use gratitude to shift your energy. When you put all of your energy into gratitude, you will see miracles take place in your life. I think that that's absolutely true. Gratitude is something that I think a lot of times we take for granted and forget, but it's there every day. Thank you for being here. Every voice matters. I'm your host, Dori Francis. And I'll look forward to seeing you next week, Thursday, 12 noon Mountain Time. Take care.
You're listening to Every Voice Matters with Dori Francis, only on LA Talk Radio.